We begin the current daf in Sechta Sanhedrin daf Mem Hey. We begin on the bottom of Mem Dalam Beis, three lines up on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in the series of these Mishnahs, like the title about Perek Nigmar Din. The judgment is concluded. The verdict has been handed down. This person is guilty and is going to be stoned. Now, that we said in the previous Mishnah, when there are 10 Amos before the Beis Haskila, then they say Vidui, confession. Now we're moving closer towards the final punishment. Says the Mishnah, HaYerochik Me Beis Haskila Arba Amos. Now they're very close to the place of where you get stoned. They're 4 Amos away. So at this point, Mavshit Noiseis Begodav, they take off his clothing. As we said in the previous staff, it says in the Pasuk, Oisai, they stone him, which means him, just him, without his clothing. Now, Ha'ish, Mechasin Oisim Milfanav, regarding a man, a male, they clothe him, his nakedness, his genital area in the front with a piece of cloth. That's only in the front. Whereas the woman's genital area, since it's visible from the front and the back, she's covered from the front and the back. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. The Chamayim, they say that actually ha'ish niskal arm. Only the man is stoned naked. However, the woman is not stoned undressed, and therefore that doesn't even pertain to that halacha. So that's the machlekes, where Rebbe Yehuda says that she is niskal aruma, but she's covered in the front and the back, whereas the Chamayim say they should not even stone aruma. Now the Gemara continues the top of Memham and Af and explains this machlekes. Tarabon and Braisa. Ha'ish mechasen oisei perek echad. A man, they cover him with a small part of him. Milfan of that's in front of him. Or some interpret that what that means, the word perek actually means a small piece of cloth. But it means a small part of him with a small cloth covers him in the front. Ve'isha shnei prakim, but the woman, she's covered in two parts. Be'milfanel, be'milchareb, meaning in the front and in the back. Neshakula ever, because that entire area is considered an erva, which is in the front and the back. That's the Rebbe Yehuda. Chamim, they say, ha'ish niskal arum. No, as they're saying, machlokes in the Mishnah, a man is stoned naked, ve'ein ha'ish niskal arum, the woman is not stoned in the state of undressed. So the Gemara says, my time and Rabbanan, what's the reason Rabbanan? Seemingly, the Pasuk tells us that it's a person is niskal aruma, and why should there be any difference between a woman and a man? Says the Gemara, because Amakar, the Pasuk says, v'yikra v'rag mo'aysay, that they stone him, my oisay. What does it mean him? Ilema oisay below oisay. If you would entertain to say, did it mean to say that they only stone a man, but a woman does not get stoned to death. But for Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Devarim, and this is in Perek Yitzayin Pasuk Hei, it says, Vaitzeis isha hu o isha, he that you'll take out that man or that woman that did this evil thing. And the Pasuk there concludes, Uskaltam bavan v'meisu, you stone them with stones, and they die. So obviously that halacha of skila applies to a woman too. Elamai oisai, then what does it mean when it says that you'll stone him? It means oisai b'lechesusa, means him without his clothing, ha'isa b'chesusa, but her is with her clothing. But Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, that, in other words, he would tell you that no, oisai, when it says him, it's not coming to exclude him, meaning in the male, but to exclude a woman. Rather, it's coming to teach us that he gets stoned naked. As we said previously, it means oisai, only him, his body, b'lechesusa, without a garment. But from that oisai is where we're learning out this halacha, but loishna ish, loishna ish, and therefore there's no difference between him or between her, because there is no miyu to exclude that. It's not saying oisai in the masculine to exclude the feminine. Rather, it's saying him, meaning his body, and not his clothing, and therefore since we have a klal, a general rule, that the women have the same halacha like men regarding all death penalties in the Torah, therefore the woman does have the same halacha, according to Yehuda, of being niskal aruma, unlike the chacham. But now the Gemara asks, Lememer, is that to say that based on this machlekes we just quoted from the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan chayshi leherhura? Seemingly it comes out that the Rabbanan were concerned for illicit thoughts, meaning to say because maybe the men might lay eyes on this woman, and if she's going to be in a state of undress, they're going to come to lewd thoughts. Now, because as Rashi explains, because if not for that reason, although, yes, we just proved according to Rabbanan that the Pasuk does not require us to undress her, because they say it's Oisai v'lo Oisa. But still, even without the Pasuk, we ourselves should have done that to do it in the state of undress so that she should die quickly, because by having a buffer with clothing, it actually prolongs the death. So seemingly, even according to Rabbanan that, yes, the Pasuk does not require it. It's only in the masculine, but not the feminine. But still, they should do it anyway for practical purposes. And the fact that they don't, they stone her dressed, is obviously because they're concerned because of men that might see her in that state of undress. And therefore they're concerned for that. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, in the contrast, Rabbi Yehuda is obviously not concerned for Hiru, because That's why he interprets the way he does, not like Rabban. He says, no, there's no reason to differentiate between man and woman. What do you mean, no difference? There's a huge difference. Is that a woman in the state of undress might induce men to have certain thoughts? Obviously, Rabbi Huda is not concerned for that. On that, the Gemara asks, but we have a machlekes, Rabban and Rabbi Huda somewhere else that seems to be the exact opposite of this machlekes. Because it's not, learn the Mishnah Masech the Saita that says, Hakayin Eichiz Bibigdeha. The Kayin at one point in the Saita procedure grabs a hold of the top of the garment on the woman's chest of the suspected adulteress. And when he grabs it, Im Nikru Nikru, if it tears, it tears, meaning like the way a regular tear would be. Vim Nifrimu Nifrimu Nifrimu, totally like rips up the whole garment where it gets jagged into small little pieces. So it gets torn up like that. Doesn't make a difference. But Ad Shemekal Asliba, until, meaning whatever the tear that he tears, until it reveals the area of her chest. And so he says, Sa'ara, and he undoes the braiding over here. Now Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, no. Im Hayali Banov, the area of our heart on our chest was beautiful, Lohi Megalehu, then he would not reveal it. Vim Hayasara, no, and if our hair was beautiful, then Lohi Yasai, so he wouldn't just undo the hole here. Now the reason for this is obviously because he's Chayishli, who is concerned for the men that are around, they might see her in this state of undress, and actually might produce them to have these types of thoughts. So, and Rabbanan not concerned. So that's the exact opposite of how we're saying that Machlokes is here regarding Skila. Some rabbi says it's not a difficulty. Hasam Hainu Tama, there by the suspected adulterous woman. The reason is, Shema Tetsimi Bezin Zaka. We don't know. We don't know if she was Mezan or not. And this is a procedure, and she might go out meritorious. She might be not guilty. And the Iskaraba Pirchekunim. Then all the young men of the kahuna who saw her in the state of undress, they might go and chase after her because they saw her in that state, which got them thinking about her. In contrast, Hoch over here, where the woman's being stoned, she's done, she's being killed, Hamikla, she's going to die. So there is no concern. So what, they think about her, they're not going to have to get her anyway. There's no practical, pragmatic concern, even if they see her and they would be enticed for her, it doesn't make a difference, she'll be dead. Now, if you're going to say, but Issa Asilis Garui Bachrinas is going to have them get incited to go after other women, because they saw one woman in the state of undress that might want them to go after others. So even though she's dead, still we should be concerned about the Hirhura. Rabbi says, no, Gemir, we have a tradition. Ein Yitzahara Shayla, the evil inclination does not rule over a person. Ela B'misha Ein Avroi is only regarding the woman that he saw with his eyes. So regarding this element, regarding seeing the woman and wanting her, it would only produce that desire for that woman itself. And since she's being stoned, so there's no chai shish luhur. Whereas by the case of the Saita, where she still might be alive, that there's a concern, and therefore he holds that there, we do not undress her. Now, Amar Rava, but Rava says, wait a second. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Kasha, so what, you only resolved the contradiction of Rabbi Huda, only there was a difficulty. Drabana, Drabana, like Kasha, but what's with the contradiction with Drabanan? Here they are concerned for Yehura, and there they're not concerned for Yehura. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, the Rabbi Huda like Kasha Kedeshanin, like was just answered, that there's a difference between, yeah, we're concerned for Yehura when she'll still be around. We're not concerned for Yehura like in our Mishnah by Skila, because she's not going to be around anyway. Rabban Adraban, Namal Kasha, but then he says, and also to resolve the other contradiction with the Pin Rabbanan is also not a difficulty. Why? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, I mean, Yecheskel, comparing the Jewish people to a woman, Vinivasru kol anoshim, that all the women will take rebuke, because they're not going to do like your lewd types of acts. Meaning comparing the Jewish women, the Jewish people, like a woman that's straight. Now, but the lesson that the Pasuk is teaching us in the allegory is that if the woman would not be disgraced, then there wouldn't be any musr, any rebuke for other women if she would go out not guilty. Now, our intention, like by the case of the Saita, is to embarrass her. Because even if she goes out not guilty, that she wasn't Mizana, she did not have a licit relationship with another man as a married woman, that she did not become Tame, but she's still a Prutza. She's still someone that did something very inappropriate because her husband warned her, which is what's called Kinoi. And then she did what's called Stira, which is she went and she secluded herself with another man. So therefore, in that situation, we want to disgrace her, and we want to embarrass her. Therefore, we tear her shirt off, and we undo her hair so that she gets disgraced. In contrast, Hachol be here when she's being killed, and l'cha yisru gadol mazad. There is no greater rebuke for people when they see a woman who did some type of iser that she's getting killed. In other words, the reason is not because of hiru. The reason why she gets killed over here when she gets stoned with her clothing on is not because we're concerned for illicit thoughts. That's not the case at all. The reason why is because we don't have to embarrass her. The whole reason why we undress her over there is because we want to disgrace her. Here, there's no need to, because anyway, the reason why we're under disgrace her over there is that other people should take lesson. Here, someone's getting killed, there's no greater lesson than that. And therefore, that resolves the contradiction Rabbanan too. It's nothing to do with here. It's regarding, are we going to accomplish the fact of other people taking rebuke? There's nothing else, so we have to disgrace her. Here, she's getting killed. We don't have to disgrace her. Now, if you're going to say, what I mean, let's do both to the woman that's being stoned. That a double rebuke. One is look at the disgrace that she went through when she was in a state of undress. And B is that she's getting killed. Amr of Nachman, Amr of Barvu, no, Amr Kra, the Pasuk says, V'ahavta l're'acha kamaycha, you should love your friend as yourself, which tells you, Baru le Misa Yafi, you should select a desirable death for that individual. In other words, you should not disgrace the person because you're doing the least amount of harm to the person. They have to be killed, fine, but in the least, in the most dignified fashion, which is not by disgracing the person. And therefore, according to Rabbanan, she gets stoned with her clothing on. So says the Gemara, Lemad Rav Nachman Tanoi. So then seemingly, this Amaroic statement of Rav Nachman seems to be contingent on Machlokes Tanoim because Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says she is stoned naked. She's covered in by her genital area, but she's undressed elsewhere. So she is getting both punishments. That seems to be Nalik Rav Nachman who says, Bar le Misa Yafa. So the Gemara, no, it's not a Machlokes Tanoim. The Kula Amla Isl Rav Nachman, everyone agrees to Rav Nachman's principle, which is that you have to select the most dignified death that the person could get. But so what's the machlekes rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda if she gets stone dressed or not? Is marasav the rabbanan hold bizyoni di inish adifale? It's better for a person regarding his disgrace. In other words, it's a bigger thing. Tfei miniche de gufe more than the comfort of the body. So therefore, it's preferable for her to get stoned with her clothing on, and which will delay her death, even though it's going to be more physical pain. But as long as she doesn't get disgraced to be disrobed. And therefore, that is, according to Rabbanan, the Misa Yafa. In contrast, Mar Sava, but Rabbi Yehuda held, Nicha de Gufa Adif, no, it's bigger for a person, the physical comfort, more than Mibizyani, more than their disgrace. And therefore, when you do undress her, that's more preferable for her, because although it's embarrassing, but she's going to die faster. And therefore, yes, I'm going to agree with Rav Nachman. The question is, but what is the more Misa Yafa? What does a person hold more dear, their physical or their emotional disgrace? Which one is the worst of the two? That's the Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Next Mishnah continues the theme. So that was four Amos before regarding disrobing. Now they come to the Beis HaSkila. Says the Mishnah, Beis HaSkila hoi gevoyish dei kaimis. The place of where the person would be stoned is two stories high, and it was from the top of that second story that they would throw the individual down from that height. Now, Echem and Eidim Deich ve'almasnam, one of the witnesses, would push the person down on his side. Now, Nepech Aliba, if let's say he would fall on his heart, on his chest, then Hoif ve'almasnam, they would turn him over to put him on his side, whereas you couldn't put him on his back, because laying on the back would be very disgraceful if the person is laying up there being stoned, but rather you put him on his side. If the individual dies by just being thrown off the top of that roof, then one has fulfilled the obligation of the mitzvah skila. But if not, then hasheni neitelase even v'nois na'aliber. So the first witness threw him down. If he didn't die from that, the second witness takes the stone that's there and throws it on his heart, meaning on the person. If he dies with that, they have fulfilled the obligation. But if he still has not died, rigimasa b'chal yisrael, his stone is through all the Jewish people. Shem, like it says, the blessing in the varm. It's the hand of the witnesses that should be the first one regarding the perpetrator. And then the hand of all the people is at the end, meaning if first the witnesses try to kill him, and if not, then all the Jewish people kill him. Now the Gemara explains, Tanu learn the Braisa, B'koyma Shaloi, the height of the person himself, which when they would throw him off the top of that, on top of the second story, that he would be standing, not sitting. Harei Kan Shalosh, actually, he's being thrown from a height of three stories, because the two floors and his own height, because he's standing, is three stories. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, maybe in Kula height, do we really need such a high height to throw the person down? Because without that, there wouldn't be enough of a measurement for him to be killed. But for Aminu, but that seems to be contradictory from Mishnah Baba Kama Daf Nun Mabez, which talks about that the obligation, the liability of the mazik known as bar, is whether one digs a bar pit or a shiach ma'ar, which are different types of cavities in the ground, that if an ox or a donkey falls in, that one who dug is going to be liable. So then the question is, then why does the Torah say specifically bar, a pit? Comes to teach you, ma bar shukadei lehem is just like a pit, which is something that can kill, which is how much is asar tfachim is 10 tfachim, because generally a pit is not less than 10 tfachim. Avkol, so to everything, in that context, like a sheikh, a ma'or, different types of caves, is also kedei lahemis is only if it could kill, which is if it has asar tvachim, 10 tvachim. Now, on that we see that it's enough to kill with just 10 tvachim. Now, if it's less than 10 tvachim and then an ox or a donkey falls in and dies, then the one who dug is going to be exempt. But you see, 10 tvachim is enough to kill. Why do we have to make it three stories high? Which is the halacha we mentioned before. Amakra, the pasuk says, "V'haftal yachak kamoich, you should love your friend as yourself," which is baral misa yafi, you should select from an appropriate death, which is that we want to die fast. Which, although, yeah, he could die with a height lower than that, but not necessarily. Some people do survive. Since we want it to be quick and easy, so therefore we do it from higher. So now the Gemara asks, then why don't we make it even higher? So the Gemara, no, mishum de minevel, because that could be disgusting, because if it's too high, when the person falls, then the body parts spread out and the limbs get disconnected and the stomach bursts open. That's too disgraceful. And therefore, we do a medium level where for sure they'll die on, they should probably die on impact, but it won't be so disgraceful. Now, the Mishnah had said, so one of the witnesses, he goes and he pushes him off the top of the story. Now, relating to this part of the halacha of skila, which first has pushing him off from a height, the Gemara brings Tarbon on the Braisa. Minayin shebetchiyah. And where do we know that those who touched Har Sinai, when the Jewish people were receiving the Torah in Har Sinai, Hashem warned no one's allowed to touch it, that if someone would touch Har Sinai, they'd be judged about being pushed off a height? Tamalayim says, because the Pasuk teaches in Shemais, Loisiga Abagayim, you should not touch the mountain. And it says, if yes, then Yarai, which is a term of being thrown, like it says in Shemais Tzvav, in the Az Yashir, Yarav Ayam was thrown in the sea, which this is not a riboy, it's just actually translating the word yaroi, that you get thrown off. Now, minayin shebeskila, how do we know that regarding the individual, if he touches Har Sinai, that it gets stoned? In other words, how do we know that it's mentioned over there that the person gets stoned with stones? Tamalem, the Pasuk teacher, but this sokol, that's the terminology of stones, like the Pasuk of Dvarim Chavbeis, uskalua an she'ir bavanim, that the people of the town, they stone with stones. You see that skila refers to being stoned with stones. Now, uminayin shebeskila ubetchia, and where do we know that both of them apply to someone who touches Har Sinai? In other words, if you need both, for example, let's say they were pushed off from the height and didn't die, that then you do additionally being the stoning with stones. Tamalema, that's the Pasuk teaches, sokol yisokol, stoning he shall surely be stoned, oyara yara, or thrown he will surely be thrown, which that's a riboy. Because if one of them is the primary one or the other, then they should have said sokol oyare. Why does it say a double terminology by both? To tell you that actually both of them apply, which is you do both yare, and if it doesn't die, then you do the skila too. Now, minayin shemes betchiyatz, and how do you know that if, let's say, the individual died by just being thrown off, that they have fulfilled the obligation and you don't stone the person too? Tamalayma, ay yare yare. That's what the Pasuk teaches when it says ay, which is what's called lechalik. And the French is to say that you don't necessarily need both. It's or, either thrown off or being stoned. Now, this is where it relates back to the halacha of our Mishnah, minayin sha'af ledoriskin. How do we know that this halacha wasn't just by Har Sinai, that applies to even future generations, that anyone that's liable for the death penalty of skila being stoned, that first there's what's called this tchiyah that we're talking about, that you're thrown off from a height. So as we continue to base, tamalayim is sakal yisakal. That's what it says, that stone he shall surely be stoned, which is a terminology of future tense. It doesn't say sakal, sakal, or yara, yara. It says yisakal, that he will be stoned, which means to say the halachas over here apply, which although the Torah is telling us just regarding stoning, but as we find by Har Sinai, that is another element, which is first being pushed off from a height and then being stoned. Then the Mishnah said, Vimlav, but if he didn't die just from being thrown off from that height, Eid Hasheni Nicholas Evan, and the second witness takes the stone and throws it on the person who's on the floor. So the Gemara asks, Neitel, is that true that one of the witnesses takes it? But V'atayinu Linda Braisa, B'shim B'la Zalim, he says, Evan Ha'isasham, there was a stone over there by the base of Skila. Masri Shnei B'nei Adam, that was a weight that needed to be lifted with two people. And Neitel B'nei Liba, then he takes it and he throws it on that person's heart. It makes B'yatz, and if he dies with it, he has fulfilled the obligation. But one thing you see, that it requires two people, not one person. Says the Gemara, well, Tamech, according to your reasoning, Tik Shalach Higufa. There's an internal contradiction in that Braisa itself. Because Masish Nebun Yadim, yeah, it's calling it a weight of two people, but Night Love and Nice Nalibu then uses this singular terminology to say that he takes it and he puts it on that perpetrator's heart. Or rather, what you must say, which will resolve the contradiction, Timadli Laba Hadikhabi, yeah, he has to lift it up with his friend. It's a weight of two people. But Vishadi La Ihu, like we said in our Mishnah, but then one of them throws it on him. And the reason for that is, ki hechid etesi mirazi, that it should come from strength, because two people can't be so exacting in their energy and their strength to throw it together simultaneously exactly at one time. Because when one's throwing, the other one's still holding on to it, which will not have it go with such might. But one person could really throw it that much. That's what our Mishnah was saying with the Braisa. Yeah, it's lifted up by two people, but then one person is the one that then throws it down. Then the Mishnah continued, Vimlav, and he still hasn't died. Then Rigimase Bechulu, then he's stoned by the entire Jewish people. And that's the Gemara, but by time when the Braisa says, Me Oidim Leishon Adam, there was never a person that stoned an individual two times. But if he's saying all the Jewish people, then of course it's going to be that people will repeat themselves in stoning another person. Says Gemara, Mi Kamina David, did I ever say that it was done? The Imitzruch Kamina, I was saying, if it's necessary, that's what would be done. But it never happened that the entire Jewish people were required to stone a person that had to be killed. Now, Amamar, the Gemara goes back to clarify what the Braisa said, Evan Haisa Bechulu, that there was a stone over there, which sounds like that this stone was always over there. And that was the stone that was used, which is a very big, heavy stone, to throw by one of the witnesses on the person who was thrown down to kill him. On that, the Gemara says, but how can you say that? But Tanya, in the Braisa, it says, Ech achas evan sheniskaba, which regarding all the different types of death penalties the court has, it uses certain tools, which is whether we're talking about the stone that the person gets stoned with, vachas eich shenitlov, or whether the wood that the person gets hung on, vechad saiv shenegbay, whether the sword that he gets beheaded by, vechad sudah shenechnegbay, whether the kerchief that he gets choked with, kulon nikvarnimai, but all the tools that are used to kill this person, they get buried with him. And the way we know this is from later on, the Mevavim Beis, where from Kavur Tikvarenu, which is the extra word, teaches us that he gets buried with even what killed him. But how could you say that therefore there was one stone that was there, if that stone, right when it was used to kill him, had to be buried? So it couldn't be the same stone there always. So the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, you're right, to Misakni Umaisi Achrini Chalufayu. The stone was there, but it's not the old stone. They would throw a stone, kill him, bury it with him, and then you would prepare for the next time and place another one in that place. And then their stone was there, a new one, and it was used. Now the Gemara asks, Nikbarinimai? We just brought in this Braisa to ask in the previous Braisa, but it tells us that the tool that was used to kill him is buried with him. On that the Gemara, but the time when a different Braisa says, Einikbarinimai, it's not buried with him. So my puppy says, to resolve that contradiction, it says, My email, what does it mean with him? It means with him in the area that's in his, the four Amis area of where he's buried. But it's not literally buried with him. So the one that says not buried with him means literally in his grave. The one that says with him means to say in the four Amis area around his grave. Now, the Gemara continues in the topic related to the Pasuk we bring in our Mishnah regarding Yada Eden Tir by Birushayna. We said they're the first ones to throw him down and to throw the stone in him. So regarding that pasuk, Amar Shmuel, he says, Nikto yada edim, if the hand of the witnesses get chopped off before they get a chance to execute him, Pater, he's exempt, the perpetrator. My time, what's the reason? Because to be we need to fulfill the pasuk in the Varm that says, as we quote in our Mishnah, yada edim tiyah by Berishayna, the hands of the witnesses have to be the first ones to strike against him, whether it means to push him down, or whether it means to throw the stone in him. Beleka, but we don't have that over here because they don't have hands anymore. And therefore, he's going to be exempt. So ask the Gemara, El Miatim, if that's the case, Eidim Gidman de Mikar, so regarding witnesses that never had hands, they were always missing hands. Hachanami de Psila, you're going to tell me that they are invalid to be witnesses to prosecute this person? If that would be the case, then it should have said that Eide Gidman, witnesses without hands, are puzzle. Why does it then have to tell us, Shmuel and his halacha, that it's only if their hand got chopped off at a later point in time, then they're puzzle? Why don't we just say, those that don't have hands are puzzle? So the Gemara, no, you're right. Shani Hassan, there it's different if they never had hands. Because the Amar Kar, the Pasuk says, Yad Ha'edim, the hands of the witnesses, which tells us the hand that they had up until now should be there at the time when the person is killed, and they should be the first ones, which is Shahisikvar. We're referring to the hands that were originally there. But a Gidim, who originally never had those hands, then we say that actually his stump was his hand. And therefore, that, of course, would be allowed to execute the person. So I'm saying, if he did have hands, those hands should then go ahead and push him off. If then, before he got executed, his hands were cut off, then it's going to invalidate the ability to prosecute and execute this person. But the Gemara is Mesav. The Gemara is from the following Mishnah, Masechtas Makkos. Mishnah says, Kamakam sheyudu shnayim b'yemru. Wherever two witnesses come along and they say, Me'idin onu b'ish pleini, we testify regarding that person, shenigma b'dina b'bezna pleini. We know that actually his verdict was already passed in that court with plenty Adav, and those two were his witnesses, that he was supposed to be killed, and he just ran away, says the Mishnah, Rezi Yaharik. So he gets executed because they testified that he's guilty and he was prosecuted, he just ran away. but he's liable for the death penalty. Now, this is difficult on Shmuel because even though we don't have Yada Edim Tiabai Berishaina, because it's not the original witnesses who testified regarding him that are going to kill him, because they're not around. It's actually two different witnesses that are recalling what happened at other court to have him executed. So obviously you don't need the pasuk literally as it says, because it's not specific like that. It's just saying, as a mitzvah, that the witnesses who testified should be the ones to push him off. But if they're not around, like in this Mishnah Masechtas Makkos, where they're just saying regarding a different court case, and they're testifying, that we see we don't need those original witnesses, which is contradicts Shmuel's halacha, that no, it has to be exactly as it says. And if we don't even have the hands of the witnesses, it's not valid according to Shmuel. So it's Gemara, no, Tergum Shmuel interprets that Mishnah Masechtas Makkos, Behein Hein Edov, that actually these second witnesses who are testifying that this guy already had his verdict passed in a different court, they are the same witnesses who had originally testified him in that court and had made him liable based on their testimony. They're saying we were those witnesses. And therefore, it is going to be Yada Edim Tiyabai Berishayin, because they're the same witnesses, and therefore it will be Kra Kedachsiv, and therefore it's not difficult according to Shmuel. That's why you will execute him. But the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel, me being the Kra Kedachsiv, do you really need to fulfill the pasuk literally as it says? I mean, the pasuk says that you have to execute this guy. So the hands of the witnesses should be the first one. Says Shmuel, if there's no hands, that's it. You can't fulfill it. What do you mean? The guy did the crime. He's supposed to be. No, it has to say as it says. And that thing where it says, is that really so? But Ritan, you learn the Braisa, the pasuk says in Mamidbar, Mois Yumas Hamaka, the one who killed someone else should be killed, because Reteach, who is a murderer, says the Braisa, Ainly, I would not know, meaning if it only had said Yumas, that he should be killed, I would only know that he could only be killed with the death penalty that the Torah tells us, which is by being beheaded, as the Mishnah teaches us, as the Gemara tells us later on, Dafnun Bezim Abez. But it says the Braisa, how do I know that if, let's say, you can't, for some reason, the guy is a fugitive, the guy is running away, you cannot kill him by beheading him with the sword. That you could kill him whatever way that you could take a bow and arrow, you can get him and kill him any which way. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches. Mais yumas hamaka. Die, he shall surely die, the one who killed, which is a riboy, extra word of mais, to tell not just the word yumas, which is mikal makim. However you could kill him, you could kill him. So you see, although the Torah tells you that a murderer has to be executed with the sword, that you see it's not the case. It doesn't have to be exacting. It's okay, la mitzvah. But if you can't execute him that way, you kill him any which way. So that contradicts Shmuel, who says, no, it has to be exactly as the pasuk says. Says the Gemara, no, shani hasam, there it's different in that case of that braisa, because the amakram, my yumas, the pasuk comes to tell us that concept. No, if it only said yumas, he would only be able to be killed with the sword. The Torah tells another word, mais, to say that in this case, you could kill him any which way. So the Gemara says, okay, but then learn from that halacha and say that you see over there, just like it doesn't have to be exactly as it's written, yeah, through ribui, but then say everywhere else also does not have to be exactly as it's written. Says the Gemara, no, mishum dehav ritzeach, because the case of this halacha we just mentioned of a murderer who's getting judged by the court, v'goyel hadam, and regarding the redeemer of the blood, in other words, regarding when the relative of the one who was killed by someone who by mistake killed him, who is supposed to run and flee to Eir Miklat, to the city of refuge. And if by mistake he goes out, once he leaves that town limits, the relative of the victim is allowed to kill him. Now, they're what's called Shnei Kesuvim Abom Kecha. They're two psukim that are saying the same concept, which is this idea that it doesn't have to be exactly as the pasuk writes it. Now, we know V'chol Shnei Kesuvim Abom Kecha Eim Alamdin. You actually cannot learn out from two psukim that are saying the same lesson, because and the Torah should have said it one time, and then we would know everywhere else. Why say two times? To say, no, that only these two places is where this halacha applies, and nowhere else. As the Gemara explains, regarding the murderers, like we just said before, which the pasuk tells us clearly that you don't have to kill him only with the side, if you can kill him any which way if you need to. And says the Gemara, what's the case of the relative of the victim? The pasuk we mentioned before says, Goyel Hadam Yomes Es Ritzeach. The redeemer of the blood, the relative of the victim, he could kill the murderer, which tells us mitzvah b'goyel adam. The mitzvah initially is that it should be done by the relative. Says the Braisa, minayin shim ein l'goyel, but how do we know if he doesn't have a redeemer? He does not have a relative. Shebezn mamidin l'goyel. That actually the court appoints a redeemer, an avenger of the blood. Meaning to say, in case this guy leaves the Eir Miklat, that he could kill him. Shem, like it says over the end of the pasuk, it says Befigoybe when he encounters him, which tells us Mikomokim, whoever encounters him. It doesn't have to be just the relative. So since both of these psukim are teaching, it doesn't have to be Krar Kedichsiv, the pasuk as it's written, therefore you can't learn from it because they're both saying the same idea, and that's why we don't know from this, and therefore it doesn't contradict Shmuel's halacha. Yet everywhere else, it has to be as the pasuk writes it, which is Yada Edim Tia, but no hands on the witnesses, then no execution. But the Gemara now actually asks on the questioner. Amalei Mar Kashisha Berid Rav Chizkiya Rav Ashi says, Umi loy be in the Krar Dechsev? What, you don't think that we need to have the pasuk literally as it's written, like Shmuel said? What's all these questions everyone's asking on Shmuel? But Vatnan, within the mission later on, Daf Ayin Aleph Amad Aleph, it says, Hoye Echad Men Gidim. If one of the parents, the father or the mother of the Ben Sayre Mar, the wayward and rebellious son, if one of them was missing hands, Oy Elam or mute, Oy Chigur or lame, which is a problem with the feet to be able to walk, Oy Suma or blind, Oy Cherish or deaf mute, the son does not become the Shalacha ben Seremayr, which is he gets executed. That doesn't happen. Because the pasuk says in Devarim, V'safsubay. It says regarding the Halacha, the parents take him to the court and they say, this boy is a really problematic child. So it says, V'tafsubay, they grab a hold of him, which tells us, V'legidamim. And that doesn't apply if they don't have hands, because then they can't grab a hold of him. When it says, V'yitziway, so they take him out to be executed, which is V'lechigarim. But that cannot be a lame who cannot take him out, cannot walk. The Amr, when it says, and they say, is V'layilma, can't be a mute because they can't talk. When it says, B'nei Nuzeh, they talk about this son of ours, sounds like they see him, which a V'layisumen cannot apply to if they're blind. When they say, Einenu Shemei B'Kaleinu, does not listen to our voice, must be V'layichirash, and that excludes if they're deaf mute, because then they actually can't hear what he's responding to them, and they don't know if he's listening to their rebuke or not, because they can't hear what they're responding. So that excludes the Cheresh. Says the Gemara, my timer. What's the reason for these halachas? Lav mishum to be in a krar kedichsiv. Isn't it because you need the pasuk exactly as it's written, and the mishnah is going through and showing, yeah, every one of these words have to be fulfilled. They have to grab a hold of him. They have to say these words, and therefore you see, like Shmuel, that it has to be exacting. So how could we have all these questions seemingly asking on Shmuel? So the Gemara, no proof from there, because shani hasam the kuli krar yiseru. That whole pasuk by Ben Sarah Meir is all extra. Because the pasuk should have just written, they take him out to the gate of the city and they stone him. Like it says by all the other those who get stoned. Why? And it doesn't need anything more. Why does it go through the whole lengthy wording of saying they grab a hold of him and they take him out? Because all those are extra to tell you these drushes. But generally, actually, we would say that no, the words would not be exacting and you wouldn't have to fulfill it exactly to the wording of itself. And we would say it would be lemitzvah and therefore it's not necessarily a proof to Shmuel. But the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof to Shmuel. Tashma. Learn the Brisa, it says, Ein la ruchayv, if a city that the majority of the inhabitants did avodah zarah, which then the whole city gets wiped out, if there's no city square, then ein nasas era dinachas, then it does not become the subverted city that gets totally destroyed, because the wording in the pasuk says that they then gathered all to the city square and then they burn everything and so on. So if there's no city square, then it doesn't become era dinachas, that's the Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, he says, no, Ein La Rechayv, if it doesn't have a city square, Eisen La Rechayv, we make a city square. Then it has a Rechayv, and then we destroy the whole city. Says the Gemara, Adkan Lepligi, but up until here, the Machlikas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is, El Demarsav Rechayv Demikarbin. It's just Rabbi Shmuel holds, no, we need to have the originally that it should have a square, can't now make one. Whereas the Marsav Rechayv Dehashtanamikin Demikarbin, in contrast, Rabbi Kiva held that, no, even if you make the square now, we'll consider like there was always a square, and we could make this into Eran Dachas. But one thing we see from both opinions is you need the pasuk literally as it's written. Where the pasuk seems to be just saying in passing that, oh, and you gather it all and you put it in the city square. We don't say that. We say, no, you have to have the city square. The question is, can you make one now or not? But that seems to be like Shmuel, who says, says, okay, you're right. Tanoihi, it's a machlik, is tanoim. If we say, does it have to be exactly as it's written? Shmuel was going with the concept that it has to be exactly as it's written, and therefore it says when the hands of the witnesses should be first, then if there's no hands, you can't do an execution. But then we see that those who disagree. So Tanakh, in the Mishnah Masechtas Negoyim, it says, if the Mitzayra does not have Boyin Yad, does not have the thumb of the right hand, or Boyin Regal, the big toe of the right foot, or Oizen Yam on this, or the ear on the right side, and he can never be purified from his tzaras, because part of the purification process in the Torah says that you have to then throw the blood on his right ear, and his right thumb, and his right big toe. So if he doesn't have that, he can't be purified. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, which is Krak et Chsiv, that's like the opinion of Shmuel. And like the opinion of Rabbi Kivin Mishmuel that we just mentioned. But Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, no, nice and amakayim, so you put it in the place of where the big toe would have been, where the ear would have been, where the thumb would be. But you don't have to fulfill the pasuk literally as it says to be on the toe, on the thumb, and on the ear. And so Rabbi Shimon also holds like that. Rabbi Shimon, he says, but he just says a different alternative. He says, nice and al-samayla b'yaitse, you fulfill your obligation by putting it on the left ear, on the left toe, on the left thumb. But one thing we see is that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon hold that it doesn't have to be kiddushiv, whereas the Tanna Kamma holds that it does have to be, and therefore it's not a difficulty on Shmuel. Shmuel is going like those who hold that krah kiddushiv, it has to be literally as it's written, and therefore if the Edom who had hands and now don't have it anymore, we would not be able to execute this individual. The next Mishnah continues on this theme of, so the person was stoned, as we just described. Now the next part is, kol haneskal nitlan, all those who are stoned, then they get hung. That's the Rabbi Eliezer. They disagree. They say, no, ein nitla, the one who got stoned does not get hung, elah hamagadif, only someone who, quote, blesses Hashem, which is an appropriate way of saying someone who Hashem curses God. And they will explain the reason for this. And v'eivad b'dezer, the one who worships idols. Now, ha'ish, toilin oisei panav klapi am. The man, when he's hanging, he's facing towards the people. V'yisha panek klapi eitz, but the woman who's hanging has her face facing towards the wood where she's hanging from. That's the Rabbi Eliezer. V'chamayim, they say, no, ha'ish nitla, only the man gets hung. V'ein ha'ish nitla, and the woman does not get hung at all. Now, amalem Rabbi Eliezer said to them, how could you say that? V'leishimim ben shatach tola noshim ashkelein, shim ben shatach hung women in Ashkelein, you see that women do get hung. So Amalei, they said to him, no, you can't bring a proof from Shimon ben Shetach as will prove that there was an exception. Because Shmaidim Nashim Tala, he hung 80 women on one day. Ve'ein Danish Nayim B'yamecha. And we do not judge two people in one day in the same court because it's very difficult to find merits to show someone's not guilty in every single court. And you're not going to have enough time to try to find their merits, which you have to try to find with this death penalty and this death penalty. Now, actually, the Gemara is going to explain that this halacha is only regarding two different sins, where the proofs then are different. And Shimon ben Shetach, who obviously did it in the same day, is because it was a necessary for that moment. It was an extenuating circumstance, where because there were Jewish women who were practicing sorcery, and he did it as a one-time exception, and he hung them to publicize this event. And yes, he judged them in one day because of their relatives so that they shouldn't conspire to try to save these women. So he quickly hung them in one day. That's what the Chacham responding, don't bring proof. No, women are generally not hung. But the reason why they were hung is the same reason why he made the exception of that he judged all 80 in one day when really you're not allowed to judge more than one in a day when they're two different court cases in the same court. So just like that was an exception, this was also an exception. He just did it to publicize and say, we're enough with this, that Jewish women should not be practicing witchcraft sorcery. Now, the Gemara explains, in the Braisa, the Pasuk in Devarim says, where the beginning of the Pasuk there is talking about in Devarim Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis, it says, V'chiyeh b'ish chet mishpat mavis, a man will have a sin that's deserving of the death penalty. So it says, V'humas v'salisa, that he'll be killed and he'll be hanging on the wood. So it says the Braisa, Yachol Kala Mamosa Nitlan. So you would think anyone that's killed gets hung. Tamalema, that's what the next Pasuk teaches, where it says there in the beginning of that Pasuk, Leisala Nevlasi Ala Eitz, you're not allowed to have his dead body hanging on the wood overnight. Ki Kavetik Beren B'Yamahu, rather you have to bury him that same day. Continues the Pasuk, Ki Kilalas Elohim Tolui, because it's the curse of God that's hanging, meaning it's because he cursed Hashem that he's hanging. Now whoever's going to pass by, he's going to say, why is this guy hanging? So people are going to say, well, because he cursed God. Well, that's disgraceful regards Shemaim. The people should hear that someone cursed Hashem. So that's what the Pasuk says. So don't leave him hanging there. You got to bury him as soon as he expires. You just put him up and you take him right down. But one thing we learn from that Pasuk is, Mamakal Zesh Abeskila, just like this one who curses Hashem, he gets stoned and then he gets hung, like the Pasuk says. We said it's referring to the one who is Kilas Elikim, who cursed Hashem, that it says Vesalisa, that you hang him. So too, all those who are stoned are then hung afterwards. That's the Rabbi Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas V'chachamim, they say no. They make a different comparison, which is much more limited in its scope. Mamakal Zeshakov Be'ikar, just like this one who cursed Hashem, denies the primary one, meaning referring to Hashem by cursing. Of course, Kofa Beka then includes all those who are deniers of the primary, which only includes those who worship idols. So therefore, that's why that's the Machlekes Na Mishra. But Eliezer says all who are stoned gets hung. but everyone's learning it from because of the one who is Mekalas Hashem, whereas the Chacham make it much more limited. It's regarding the comparison of Kaifer Be'ikar, which then only includes, just like Mekalas Kaifer Be'ikar, so to every divrei dezar. So the Gemara says, B'maikim, what are they disagreeing? They're both comparing the who gets hung to the Mekalas Hashem. Where does Rabbi Eliezer see to include a much broader spectrum and the Chacham much more limited? So says the Gemara, because Rabbanan Darshi Kloli Prati. The Rabbanan expound the Pasuk in what's called Bechlal Vefrat, which is a general concept and a more specific, which is, it's saying something that's unspecified, a general idea, and then it specifies it. You expound the last one as a prat, as a specific. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Darshi Ribui Ume'ute, he expounds the Torah in this halacha of inclusive and exclusive. Now, the difference between those two interpretations are that a prat is specifying the general idea. And now, as we say in the Brayso de Rabbi Shmuel, Ein bechlal ela mashma beprat. What it comes to say is that it's not, nothing's included in that general idea, but only what's specified in that specific. Even what's similar to that specific is not included from the klal, from the general idea. In contrast, if one expounds it in ribuy and miut, then it doesn't uproot the entire general concept from its place. Rather, it just diminishes it a little bit, which is originally from the inclusive terminology include everything. Then the miut comes and just diminishes its understanding just a little bit, that don't include everything. Rather, only that which is similar to this, what the pasuk says afterwards, to the specific, but it only takes away a little bit. As the Gemara explains, Rabbanan Darshi Kloli Prati, Rabbanan expounded in a term of a general idea and then a specific, which Bahumas Vesalisa Klal. First it just says whoever gets killed, then gets hung, which is a general idea. Ki Kilas, when it says, because the one who cursed, then it's a prat, it's specific, saying, okay, what type of a person that gets killed? Now, Ihava Mikarvalad Dadi, if the Klal and Prat would have been right next to each other, which you pointed out before, these are in two different psukim. Had they been in the same pasuk, let's say. So I mean, and then actually we would have said, Ein bechlal ele mashav prat, that nothing is included in that general concept of whoever gets killed gets stoned. Rather, what's in the specific, which is only someone who curses Hashem. Hani in midach v'nilei. That would tell us that only the mekal is the one that gets hung after he gets stoned, but no one else would be included. Whereas as we continue, but now that their distance, the klal is a little bit far from the prat, sahani, then that distance allows us a little bit more latitude to tell us that although we don't include in the klal what's in the prat, but the fact that it's not right near each other, that's l'rubuya v'yitzikachavim. That comes to include idol worship, the damile, that's similar to that specific, b'cholmili, in all its elements, because he's a kaifa b'ikr, not just getting stoned, but he's a kaifa b'ikr, just like the makal. Therefore, the avodah zara is the only one that shares that commonality, because generally we wouldn't include anything. But now that it's a little bit further away, the klal from the prat, so include something similar, which is the one that's the most similar, is avodah zara. In contrast, Rabbi Eliezer Darish Ribui Me'uti, he expounds the Torah as an inclusive terminology, and then an exclusionary. So when it says v'humas v'salisa, when it says that whoever gets killed, he gets hung, that's ribui, that includes anyone that gets killed. When it says kikilas, the one who curses, well, that's a miut. That's an exclusionary term. It's diminishing the ribui and teaching you that, no, you don't include everything in that general concept. Rather, whatever is similar to it. And if you would expound that, if it would have had the miut right after the ribui, so then we would have only included idol worship, the dami labachamili, which is similar to the prat of makala in all its facets. But now that they're further apart, sahani, so that helps that you should not diminish in this miut like other miutin, rather only something that's really unsimilar to it, like all other types of court death penalties. But it comes to include all other death penalties that get stoned, that is similar at least somewhat, where to the makal that also has skill like it, which is not excluded from the miut. Now, it's from here that where we understand where many times in Shas it mentions regarding this concept of klal uprat klal, where the one who expounds the Torah in klali and prati, in general and specifics, that what's called enem, that you only include what's similar to the specific, whereas in the one who expounds the Torah riba meute, we say really is including everything. And the mitzvah is only excluding one thing because of the same concept that we mentioned before, where similar to like what we're saying that Klal Prat or Rebbe Meir has one way. But then when you distance themselves, you can include a little bit more. So to the idea when you have Klal Prat u Klal, and you have a Rebbe Meir to Ribui, is the same idea where you include a little bit more. Now, the difference between them is, as we said before, is because a prat, when it's klal uprat, a prat means a terminology of explaining, of specifying. So when you have a klal uprat to klal, iatadan ele ke'en haprat, which is when you include through the last general, meaning if it only a klal uprat, you would not have anything but the specific, because it's explaining. When the last general rule then adds on to say, no, it's not just the prat itself, but what's ke'en pro, it's similar to the specific, which is because if I had not had the last klal, I would have said, actually, the only thing that's included is what's the specific mentioned in the Torah. And only that would be included. Even what's similar would not be included. Rather, it's just because the Torah did not specify, and then it did specify. And that's what's coming to tell you, that whatever is unspecified is only included what's being specified. So therefore, when you have the last klal, which is not in our case, but similar to what we're distancing, we're adding more, so to when you would have a second klal to end, that would help to add on a little bit more to say, okay, not just the prat, what's at least very much like the prat, and nothing more. In contrast, the one who darshan the Torah in Ribi and Me'ute would tell you that, no, the Mi'ut, it's the same wording, but what does it mean? Is this Torah coming to specify, to explain, or is it coming to just diminish? The one who holds Mi'ute is not explaining the unspecified term. It's just coming to exclude a little bit from it, that not everything should be included. And therefore, even if there was no second klal, I would have understood from the Mi'ut that at least whatever is similar to the Mi'ut, because the Mi'ut's only coming to exclude only what's totally not similar to it. So therefore, when you do have not just a Ribui Mi'ut, but then another Ribui, that's actually coming to include everything, and it's only being what's being excluded from that Mi'ut is only one thing to say whatever really is totally unrelated to that Prat, that's what's being excluded. That's, again, the concept that we see similar in our Sugir, where the Ribui Mi'ut, since their distance, is almost similar in that sense to having another Ribui, which comes to add a little bit more. That's the Machlekes that we have over here between in our Mishnah of the Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. If they're both learning from Mekal, why is it that one includes Oneskal and one only includes Oved by Dezara? Depends on if you're learning the Torah in Klal Uprat, like the Rabbanan, and therefore then you could only include what's very much similar to it, whereas Rebbe Eliezer Darshan's Ribi Muti, and therefore you add on even more, which is a larger spectrum, which includes Oneskal, not just Oved by Dezara.